Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Jay.
Good morning, how are you?
No, we good, Jay. We good.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Honorable Noma Themba Jele.
Morning, Chair.
How are you?
I'm okay, and you?
Okay, thanks. Thanks.
Okay. Good morning, Chair.
Morning, how are you?
I was still muted.
Oh, no problem.
How are you this morning, Chair, and the colleagues?
We're good.
Okay, no, thank you.
Everyone from Honorable Wilma.
Honorable Wilma, how are you?
Good morning, Honorable Vermont and Honorable Jackie.
And I'm well, thanks. And how are you? How is everybody?
Morning, everybody.
Good morning, Chair. This is Keiza Kanyaho. How are you, Chair?
How are you, Mr. Kanyaho?
I'm still okay, surviving.
Still, you're very busy.
But Kanyaho, why are you greeting Chair Alo? I'm jealous.
I'm still coming. I follow protocol. I've been very busy, Chair, and good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Morning, spokesperson, and well done.
Morning, spokesperson.
Thank you.
Yes.
Memufukeng, thank you very much.
Good job.
We're trying.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Good morning.
Good morning, Advocate.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's good.
Good.
Yes, Honorable Glenys Breitenbach.
Morning, Chair. How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
Fine, thank you.
Very good.
Good morning, Chair. It's Sia.
Yes, Mr. Mthonjane.
Yes, Chair. We wanted quickly to sort the flighting of the presentation just before we start, Chair. Can maybe request from the SIU who's going to be flighting the presentation so that we can give that person powers to flight and we test it now before we start, Chair, if that's possible with you, if that's okay.
Yeah. That should have been done long time ago. We're left with 3 minutes now before the start of the meeting.
We didn't want to disturb your greetings, Chair, because they were entering while you were greeting, Chairperson. The SIU is entering from the waiting room.
No, the SIU should have come earlier because we're here at half past nine. But proceed quickly.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Advocate Mutibi, good morning. Can we get an indication from your side who's going to be flighting the presentation so that we can give that person powers quickly? Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. From our side, it's Mr. Mguli, our Head of Planning and Strategy, who will be flighting the presentation. Mr. Mguli, it's 2 minutes to go. If you can please flight the presentation. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Mr. Mguli.
Morning, colleagues. Can you see it?
Yes, we can see it, Mr. Mguli.
Yes, Mr. Mguli, we can see it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's 9:30. We will be dealing with the briefing from the SIU on the fourth quarter 2019-2020 and the first quarter. Would like to welcome you, Advocate Mtibi, and your team.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
You have been very hard at work. We've been seeing you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
We are encouraged by the good work. We hope that it will be part of your presentation. Thank you very much. You have until 10:30 to make your presentation.
Okay.
The person advocate starts, please. Can I note an apology of Honorable Richard Janti? Apology for Richard. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other apology or apologies?
Good day, Chair. Mr. Swart has indicated that he might leave the meeting on the daily, Chair. That you joining us, but might be good.
Okay.
Chairperson, it's Werner Roon.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know whether we see the afternoon's meeting as a new meeting or a continuance, but I will not be able to attend the afternoon portion when we deal with Legal Aid South Africa. If you'll note my apology for that part of the meeting.
Okay. Can that part be clarified? Is it a continuance or we will get a new link? Yes, sir.
Good morning, Chair.
Morning.
We will use the same link.
Hello?
We're going to use the same link.
Same link, okay. That's fine. So,
before you continue, Chairperson, if you can note my apology, 11 o'clock, I want to attend the constitutional review meeting.
Okay.
11 o'clock. Yes, thank you.
Maybe you should correct it. Honorable Masako can check the notices. It has been cancelled.
Oh.
Wow.
No. I have not yet no, Chair. The cancellation. The cancellation of the committee meeting, the constitutional review committee, was revoked.
Oh.
So it looks like it is continuing. But what I wanted us to do, Chair, we can release Honorable Chele, then she must submit our apologies there, because I believe that I sit with the Honorable Chele and Honorable Mofokeng there. So we can just release one and the two of us remain here in this meeting.
Okay, no, that's fine.
It's okay, Chair. I have to put my apology already.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Comrade Kola.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Morning, Chair. Steve Swart here.
Yes, Honorable Swart.
Morning, Chair, and to my colleagues. I also need to leave early, Chair. Just my apologies in anticipation. Thank you so much.
Okay. I think we're now done with the apologies. Can we hand over to Advocate Mtibi? Advocate Mtibi, we will give you until 11:25.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. We appreciate the opportunity to brief the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Correctional Services. I'll go straight into the presentation. The slide that's shown now, it's really the outline of the presentation and overview. We are covering the quarter four performance information and 2019-2020 performance information. Chair, I'm just reminded before I go on, I'm not sure if the Honorable Chair and Honorable Members are aware that from our side, we are joined by the chair of our audit committee. Perhaps it's proper to introduce her at this stage. She is Mrs. Nandi Madiba. Miss Madiba, are you in the meeting? Chair, it doesn't look like that she. But we have.
Good morning, Honorable Chair of the Committee and Honorable Members of the Committee. Good morning, Asia, you and team. I am at the meeting. I connected quite on time. I have just decided to remain mute so that I give an opportunity for the proceedings to start. But I am confirming that I am present at the meeting. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Madiba. Chair, as I said, we'll also cover the financial information. We'll cover the legal counsel information, the governance, covering compliance with legislations and laws. We'll also cover the internal committee meetings. We'll cover strategic risks. We'll cover the audit outcomes. We also have information on human capital, and we conclude with quarter one performance information for 2020 and 2021 financial year. Slide number four, Honorable Chair, it's really a summary and an overview of the quarter four of 2019-20. That pie chart indicates that in quarter four, SIU achieved 62.96% and 11.11% was not achieved. However, in that part, the significant work that was done, and 25.93% was not achieved. If we split to the next slide, this is a depiction of the pie chart information by program, which is program one, which is mainly administration. It covers the support services. And then there's program two, which covers the core business of SIU, which is the investigations and legal counsel. Program three is the one that we really introduced as part of the new strategy dealing with data analytics and prevention. So it really is part of the core business as well. So as we can see that it spread out, program one, it's really the one that has got the most unachieved indicators. And then I'll go straight into the annual performance of the financial year 1920. As the committee can see, there's a variance between the overall performance compared to quarter four in terms of statistics. The overall performance of 1920 as a whole is 68.97, whereas quarter four indicated 62.96. Our head of planning and strategy indicated to me that there's variances and there's explanation that explains the two. I'm going to just pause here quickly. Mr. Mguli, if you can just appraise the Honorable Committee on what those variances are.
Thank you, HOU. Morning, once again, Honorable Chair. The variance, Chairperson and Honorable Members, is that in quarter four, what has happened is that we did not have some of the milestones or targets. And in the annual performance, which is displayed now, is that we had already achieved the targets for the year. That's why that quarter four is different from from annual targets, because here we are demonstrating the entire achievement for the organization, whereas in quarter four it was is only quarter four targets. That's the difference. Thank you. Thank you, Joyo.
Thank you, Mr. Mkuli. Honorable Chair and honorable members, I'll proceed. The annual, as I indicated, the annual performance is 68.9, and there's areas that require intervention. 10, which is the yellow part, which is, please go back to the pie chart, thanks. The area that indicates not achieved, however significant work done, is 10.34, and not achieved is 20.69. In the main, the areas that were not achieved, as I indicated earlier, sit in the support services. And we really want to ensure going forward that that we have put in place the significant steps for intervention for that improvement. So we are seeing, we have seen a good performance, Honorable Chair and good and Honorable Members. We of course strive for excellent performance where we will improve on the 10.34 and put in steps measures to achieve the 20.69. The slide that we are seeing now is depicting the annual performance by program. As we indicated, the reds are sitting in the administration, which is the support services. The program two and program three, which are the core business, we are seeing 100% performance on the core business of the special investigating unit. And of course, we do so being supported by program one administration. But if we deal with the rates, we can probably shoot the lights off and even exceed 100% achievement. So we are aiming to ensure that we deal with the rates in program one. And we are now going to talk to those rates as I go to the next slide. The next slide, Chair, begin now to give the details. I will obviously take the presentation that the honorable members has had the opportunity to view it. I won't go into details in the interest of time. The percentage of invoices paid, valid invoices paid within 30 days as per agreed payment or as per agreed payment terms. That remains an area which we really want to see 100%. And we know that the portfolio committee urged us to ensure that that area is really given attention. In that area, it's pretty much manual at the moment, and we are working hard with the finance team and the ICT team to ensure that we have got automation. That automation is really going to enable us so that we are aware when the certain payments are coming through, so that there's a proactive action on the part of the finance team. So annually, we are seeing a 94% performance. As I said, we would really like to see 100% on that one. The percentage of vacancy rate maintained, we are sitting at 23%. Of course, the target was 12%. There's 11% variance. It is indeed so that if it's not fast-tracked, we will affect the operations. In this regard, Chair, and our human capital officer will talk to that later on in the slides, we are indicating that we have had lengthy engagements with the recognized trade union. They have really kept us with regard to the employment equity, which is one of our important strategy, but they indicated a difference in interpretation of what they refer, what's referred to as Section 20 in the Employment Equity Act. So, you know, to an extent that it really took a while, but we are behind that now, or that is behind us now. And we are putting in place measures so that we can fast track the recruitment. We've got the information in the pack on how we are going to fast track the recruitment process. The next slide. Percentage of signed, Honorable Chair, before I proceed forward, on the previous slide, I made a note here as I was preparing that we did submit a document as was requested by the honorable members. We submitted it to the portfolio committee that indicates our trajectory and the plan on the recruitment. So this delay that has been caused by the engagement in the National Consultative Forum with the trade unions will not affect the plan that we presented to the portfolio committee in terms of growth and dealing with the vacancy rate. Percentage of signed performance agreement. This is yet another area, Honorable Chair, which we really want to ensure that we speed it up. At the moment, it remains unachieved, and we've had quite a lengthy engagement at the audit committee with the Auditor General. We do have a performance management system at the moment, which the SIU is using. However, it could really be improved in the sense of having upfront performance agreements with the employees. How we have mitigated that as at an executive level, we sign business plans, which are facilitated by our colleague in the planning and strategy. Those business plans give us a basis on which we should measure the executives and the organization inputting into the APP. And that is translated down to the projects, investigation projects. However, it still remains an issue that the performance agreements are required so that there are really no hagglings, no issues at the time of one-on-one appraisals. But up to now, put in place measures, report to the Honorable Committee that we have since passed consultation with the trade union. Now we are fast-tracking the process. And again, our human capital officer will add on to that. We would like to see from the beginning of the next financial year, which is the 1st of April, contracts must be signed with everyone so that we depart on the new approach. We are at the moment, the human capital space is workshopping everyone in the organization around the scorecards on how we're gonna approach the new performance management based on the performance agreements. I move forward, the next slide. The percentage of the implementation of the 3-year information and communication technology plan. That also remains unachieved. However, there has been milestones that have been implemented. The explanation there or the comments just indicates that in the IT department, they had changes in their plan which fast-tracked some of the activities that had to be implemented in this current year. Notably, the wide area network, local area network improvements, those were fast-tracked. And when they were identified to be fast-tracked, because we were anticipating that because of COVID-19, we have to strengthen our infrastructure, we then also pulled forward the provision of new laptops to the employees and just general connectivity. happened is that when those items fast-tracked, the previous plan was not updated accordingly. And now, when it came to the end of the year, we were met, which did not incorporate the fast-track milestone. I have engaged with our that so that we put in place measures not to repeat that. You'll see in the quarter one information that we have included, some of those milestones are included there. But as I said, we've now put in place measures. When we do the planning, it must be so focused that when there are changes, the head of the planning and strategy, there must be change processes that are documented so that when plans are changed, because of the business requirements and the changes documented appropriately. The next one is number of stay conducted and baseline established. We have in the previous year not conducted the survey simply because there was a stakeholder and communication strategy that was worked on as the not so new anymore, head of communications came in. He immediately had the task of reviving or reviewing. He has done so, and that strategy has also resulted in a draft, new structure for the communication department. He has taken that into account. However, the last survey that we did is still very much valid. We are working on ensuring that the comments got from our stakeholders based on the previous survey are incorporated and are implemented and worked on, improved where necessary. The next slide. Next slide, the SIU, we have implemented a full governance framework, and we speak to it again in the governance section of this presentation. We are really happy that our governance environment is beginning to show the results that we would like to see. The next line is number of quarterly reports produced. We are expected by law to present 4 quarterly reports to our executive authority. We have presented those as required. The next one is number of submission of strategic plan and the annual performance plan. The SIU, we have complied with that. We have ensured that not just a formal tick, we ensure that we engage the employees as we revise our strategies to changes, mental changes. Once we've done that, we conclude our strategic plan and submit executive authority submission to the portfolio committee. That was done. The next slide, this one also shows another item which was achieved, which is the percentage of the implementation of the legal compliance framework. In this regard, we've set ourselves a higher threshold so that we don't drop the ball when it comes to legal compliance. So what we are talking to here is that we need a focused compliance framework which takes into account legislative compliance projects. So we would like to see a dashboard produced by our legal department on a monthly basis, which tells us where are areas of non-compliance. But so as I said, it's a higher threshold that we set for ourselves. But at the moment, we are covering the SIU compliance adequately, indicating there the year-to-date progress, where we have an approved compliance framework with implementation plan. What's indicated as draft compliance policy there, it has since been approved. The compliance risk policy, it's incorporated in the enterprise risk management framework, and it's also monitored appropriately by our risk committee. So what's left at the moment really is that our legal department that will see the appointment of the compliance manager that will take us through to this higher threshold that we have set ourselves, where we want to see the legal universe document identifying projects that needs to be monitored. So the red is really that we did not achieve this higher threshold that we have set for ourselves, but we are satisfied that we are adequately monitoring compliance. The next line is percentage of submission of declaration. This one, we ensure that every year members of SIU declare their interest, and this is completed appropriately. The next slide is the fraud and prevention plan. This is reviewed on a continuous by our chief risk officer, who is also in attendance, and we ensure that we take into account all the improvements in the fraud space. If there are new technologies or new ways of detecting fraud, we incorporate those, and that is done. The next one is the implementation of the integrated security system. Again here, because of what the security risk assessment that we have done, we have taken a decision that we need to implement the integrated security system. There's a business case that's in place. However, we continue to also interact with our JCPS colleagues. There was a meta table at JCPS that you know, the government needed to build internal capacity, create security for government buildings and government entities, but that process has really stalled. It has it has been delayed, and now on our side, we have engaged with the landlords because we are leasing most of our buildings. Our landlords do provide security. However, there are other areas which are not in the lease agreement, which we should make sure that they are protected. For example, at our Polokwane office, we have appointed some security guards to ensure that they cover the areas which are not covered by the landlord. In the Durban office, our Durban office has since relocated where it previously was after the lease agreement ended, and we have also implemented a revised security plan there. But the overall plan is still to be implemented. We are satisfied at the moment that there are no red flags in the security environment. The integrated business system will really be to improve. So the red part is because we have not implemented that integrated system yet. But our chief risk officer is driving this space. We will ensure that we drive it forward in this financial year. Next slide, percentage of approved internal audits conducted accordance with the internal audit plan, the explanation there. As you can see, and here it's really the audit executive who should really speak to this. Ms. Buarato Leshope is the chief, the executive of audit. If you've got a point to add, because you are an independent entity, you report directly to the chair of the audit. Do you want to comment there, or is it sufficient as it written like that?
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Buarato Leshope, the Chief Audit Executive. The comment is sufficient. The audit was completed outside the financial year. That's why it could not be counted. Thank you, HOU.
All right. But also...
Let me check, HOU. Would you like a comment from myself, or should I just leave it with the CAE?
Well, if you want to comment through you, Honourable Chair, can we allow the Chair of the Audit Committee to comment?
Honorable Advocate Mtebi, after you are done, then we'll get a full report of the chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Moving forward, the next slide is about the improvement of the SIU risk maturity level. This is the risk management space where we would like to see SIU maturing from level 1 up to level 6, as you can see on the left-hand side. This is conducted by the National Treasury, so we invite them from time to time to come and review the internal risk process. We are currently at level 4.6. The target was that we should be at level 5. So the 0.4 that has not been achieved relates to the testing of the business continuity management, the disaster recovery plan, and that is planned. It was planned in for quarter four. It has not been done. So as we speak today, the BCM is in place, and the disaster recovery plan is also in place. We have worked with the IT space and the chief risk officer. We will make sure that the tests are done in this current year. The next slides really go now to program two, which is the core business, which has really shown good performance. Percentage of allegations registered 100%. That's the one where whistleblowers or any other one reports corruption. We take them through the process. We ensure that they are registered through to the proclamation process. And the second line also relates to the same point. And the next slide, it's the number of investigations closed. We have really seen quite a number of investigations closed. The target was 400. The investigating team have closed about 2,000 investigation areas. These are investigation areas within a specific proclamation. A proclamation can have, you know, quite a number of investigation areas. So there's a comment in there that some of the national projects that contributed to the target, our Transnet project has really contributed a lot to that. The next one, the number of reports submitted to the president, the target was 7. We have submitted 19. So as we revise our strategy, we'll have to ensure that we set targets that are in line with our performance level so that we can be appraised and measured appropriately.
Look at him, TV. Advocate Mtebi.
It shows he left Chairperson.
The time.
Okay.
And we had given you more time than previous.
That's right.
Yes.
I'll move faster, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
The number of referrals to prosecuting authority is 451, exceeding the target of quarter four actuals was 161. Target for 1920 was 75. Again, we need to up the game there in terms of the targets. They seem low, but the baseline was talking to the real target that was set. But again, it's the speed at which we have asked our colleagues to investigate. Now, the value of potential loss, the number of disciplinary referred. These are referred to accounting authorities and accounting officers. Target was 100, we've done 638. The next slide. The value of potential loss prevented. The target was 30 million. We've done 400 million. Again, as projects are done, our ESCOM projects, in that project alone, we managed to prevent the loss of about 400 million. And this resulted to the overachievement of the planned target. The value of cash recoveries, we had targeted to recover cash to an amount of 140 million. Again, we've exceeded that by 345, which is the target to date. And on the left and on the right hand side, there's projects that contributed to that. Recovery of 157 million to IDT, the High Court ordering the service provider for the Department of Telecoms to pay 25 million. And then there's others, Chair, which I will not really go into detail, but there's really significant increase there. The value of contracts and administrative decisions set aside is the next, that one. The target was 800 million. Again, in our ESCOM space, we have seen a contract set aside, and this is the Tegeta contract, which was set aside and is valued at 3.7 billion. At the moment, we are pursuing the actual recoveries in that space. The next one, value of matters in respect of which evidence was referred for institution of civil litigation. In this case, we have targeted 1.5 billion. We have exceeded that, Chair, by 2.1 billion. Again, it just shows that since the establishment of the Special Tribunal, we have had quite a number of matters, and the Special Tribunal is proving to be an important tool in our arsenal of fighting corruption. Most of the matters were enrolled there. The next one is the data analytics space. Number of trend analysis that we contracted, we have met the target there. We have analyzed and given and progressed the trend analysis to two. Number of external risk assessments and trend analysis reports issued is two. What we do here is very involved here, that our colleagues look at the trends, they do the vulnerability assessments, and then we report back to the ACTT and to the other departments affected. Number of systemic improvements, as we investigate, we also suggest improvements in the systems of the departments. We have done specifically the public works prestige part of the investigation. We're happy that we're able to do that one. Number of targeted awareness. As part of the prevention activities, we do also raise awareness around corruption. As you can see there on the year-to-date column, we've done with the National Department of Public Works. There was, interestingly, a school that approached our team in the Eastern Cape that we do the awareness day. We did that, and it was really very well received. Number of public survey conducted, that gives us an impression of what the level of corruption perception is in the country. Chair, without a waste of time, I'm going to hand over to my colleague, the CFO, who will take the committee through the financial stats. And CFO, please, if you can also just mind time and summarize appropriately for the Honorable Committee. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members.
Thank you very much. You should also bear in mind that we have gone through the documents.
Oh, yes.
So we would need people just to focus on the key issues.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. For the quarter then ended 31 March 2020, which is depicts the full year financial results, the members would notice that we've ended with a surplus of about 193 million, and that was mainly made up not on income. You'll see the income is more or less in line with regards to the budget, but on the expenses side, mainly as a result of the recruitment not not happening as we thought it would. There are then savings in the salaries and related costs for headcount, which is in your traveling accommodation and your operational costs. And then, Chair, in the administration costs, you will notice a huge positive variance of about 106 million. And that is mainly made up of a reversal of the provision for bad debt. As a 3A entity, being on full accrual accounting, we need to impair our debt on an annual basis. And because we've made huge inroads in the 2020 year in the recovery of debt, we've recovered about 355 million. There was a lot of old debt recovered, and therefore there was a reversal. And that created effectively a negative expense, and that resulted in the 106 million. Thank you, Chair. Not going to go through the notes I've highlighted. We can skip that one. This is the first quarter. Sorry, previous slide. The first quarter of 2021. Chair, you would, Chair and members, you would notice that COVID had an impact. The lockdown on our income, about 40% of our income, as you are aware, is invoiced income. So on the project income line, you would notice the actual was only 31 million versus a budget of 82 million, a 51 million negative variance on the income. During lockdown, hard lockdown 5 and 4, as the SIU was not an essential service, there was limited investigations going on, and therefore we did not invoice. However, on the expense side, it was again also balanced out because of the recruitment not realizing as we planned initially, and therefore there's some positive variances on the expenses side, ending us then on the first quarter on a surplus of 32 million, Chair. We can go to the debt, the payments, next slide. This is the debt at 31 March 2020. 418 million. The previous year was a figure of 493 million. As I've mentioned, that was mainly as a result of huge inroads in recoveries. Next slide. At 30 June, Chair, the debt ended at about 431 million. So more or less static from year end. The next slide depicts the payments that we received for the year then ended. As I've mentioned, 355 million, which was mainly made up of public entity, national government, in public entities, provincial government. Unfortunately, we are still experiencing on the local government, the municipalities, challenges in the recovery of debt. Next slide. For the first quarter, Chair, the cash income recovered only 21 million. So that was, again, the negative impact of COVID. We would have expected closer to about 60, 70 million. But as a result of lockdowns, it also impacted, unfortunately, on the payments that we could receive from state institutions. Next slide. Just a quick update on the funding model. There's been some engagements and then very recent engagements that happened on the 5th of October. With National Treasury, we had a long, detailed workshop, and various alternatives will now be considered, documented, and taken to the next steps through the necessary governance processes. And once that is done, we will update the committee in due course.
One, as a strategy towards ensuring that we can appropriately collect. And in the High Court, remember, this is where we have realized that there are delays, but we have seen some movements. We have got now about 50 cases pending to the value of 9.94 billion. We've had two cases heard recently and the judgments were reserved. Unless there are specific questions relating to specific investigations, we will cover them in this presentation as well. I won't go much on the compliance, the governance side. As I said, I've covered it before. We've created the governance framework. This slide, next slide, please. The next slide just shows the committees that are functional. We've got the EXCO, Risk Management Committee, Audit Committee, Human Resources Committee, and the ICT Committee. These are the committees that really ensure that we cover our business appropriately. They have met as required, as you can see at the top there. The strategic risks, which is the next slide, I won't go line by line. It really just ensures us that we also monitor the risks that are attendant as we perform our business. As you can see there, we want to ensure that the SIU referrals are acted upon. That is really how we can continue to make impact, because we have seen that because of the apparent failure to implement SIU referrals, and I include across the board, be it disciplinary, be it civil litigation, be it prosecution, it has contributed to this culture of impunity that people out there just think that nothing will happen to them. So we want to make sure that we change that culture. That culture has to change where we show that actions have been taken. The one risk relating to the funding model, we will probably see it incorporated in the next financial year. I will not cover all the slides on the audit outcomes, Chair. We are just glad to report to the committee that SIU has achieved a fourth year in a row, a clean audit. And of course, the committee is well aware with really what goes into achieving a clean audit. We would like to make sure that we continue on that trajectory with clean governance, sound financial management, prudence in making decisions. Next slide. I think I've covered slide 42, 43. Just shows all the years that we have been getting clean audit. Next slide. Next slide is human capital. Ms. Mashego, please, if you can just summarize, please. The committee has gone through the slides. Chair, the main message of the human capital space is, as I reported earlier on, we are pushing to make sure that we push the vacancy rate, the recruitment of the capacity, recruitment of the skills, and we really look forward, as our finance CFO has reported, that the budget that we'll have will cover the current recruitment. We have presented our requirements to National Treasury and to Department of Justice. We are hoping that with the budget adjustment that's coming in October, that we may also be included. Ms. Mashego, anything else that you want to add?
HOU and honorable members, can you hear me? Am I still muted?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good morning, Chair and honorable members. I think the main issue, as HOU has indicated, is the vacancy rate. We have begun with the recruitment processes, and we are hoping that we will be accelerating this in order for us to achieve what we have committed so far. So I don't think I want to go into so much details. We have port, and we appreciate the time. I'm just doing this in the interest of time.
Yes, thank you very much. Slide number 50, Chair, this one that's shown here. There's just one correction I want to make. These are the additional resources in this current year. It's not in the MTEF, because the MTEF is, 3-5 year period. We've got the resourcing in all the years. These ones we have already advertised. The interviews will be conducted. We are really hoping to conclude them soon so that we capacitate SIU. If you can see there, the principal forensic accountants, we need them direly. Chief forensic accountants, cyber forensics, these are the skills I think we did report to the portfolio committee before that we will be making sure that we bring on board. Chair, with your permission, the quarter one performance, as the committee could see when we go through the report, I'll just go through the summarized pie chart. There's about 50% that has not been achieved in quarter one, and 25% achieved. This was merely, we've got the contributing factors there in slide number 54, if you can go there. I think that mainly the lockdown had some affected us because we were not declared an essential service in the beginning, but we have since put in place the measures. The head of strategy and planning informs me that because the quarter two has ended, he has seen some significant improvement. We will still report that to the audit committee and to the executive authority. With your permission, Chair, I won't go through the slides in detail. I will stop here and allow the chairperson probably to hear the chair of the audit. Thanks. I don't know if you can still hear me, Chair. I just went through the factors that contributed to the underperformance on slide 54.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Advocate Mtibi.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members.
Hello? I'll now invite the Chair of the Audit Committee to take us through her report.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. And good morning to all participants at the meeting, HOU and team. I would like, Chair, to comment specifically on the audit outcome of 2019-2020. And my comment, Chair, is actually encompassing a comment which was made earlier on by the HOU, whereby we are presenting that for five successive years, we've actually been obtaining clean audit opinions. And Chair, I would like to indicate that even prior to the clean audits, we were still having unqualified audit opinion. So even if prior to the year 2016-17, we were having just an unqualified audit opinion, we were not having major challenges, but it was more to strengthen our internal control environment. And one other aspect was the pending review of the organizational structure, whereby the performance management system had to be done more on the basis of practical application of observing the results rather than planning in advance that people are expected to achieve the particular KPIs. And having made that qualification, Chair, I would like to indicate that from the Audit and Risk Committee point of view, we don't have any concerns as the oversight structure in terms of any weaknesses within the environment. Safe to say that the points that had been raised as additional matters to be considered, like the performance agreements that are not in place yet, are known to the Audit Committee and had been under the radar of the Audit Committee even the past financial year. And we are happy with the progress that is being made because the organization, to avoid unnecessary litigations, is having a duty to make sure that consultations are adhered to, as well as ensuring that as part of those consultations, there is no dispute that is pending, so that as they continue executing the revised organizational structure, there are no disputes that are on the site. And Chair, other than that, I wouldn't emphasize any internal control weaknesses that we really have to adhere to. And as audit committee as well, we have acknowledged the performance that is appearing to be reducing, which is mainly as a result of the impact of COVID. I'm not sure, Chair, maybe from the side of Parliament as to how it can be considered that SIU is actually rendering a service that is essential. And I think the committee chair will agree with me when I'm saying it should be considered essential, because you will remember the challenges that I experienced currently in relation to COVID-19 related expenditure, which therefore means deferring action to be taken is impacting on the actual cases, because the older the case, the more difficult it is to actually achieve results quicker. And also, the state has its main object to recover any taxpayers' money wasted through irregular and unethical conduct. And therefore, when the case becomes older, it might even be difficult to actually recover the assets that are the fruits of such wrongdoing. Hence, the comment to say maybe there might be a need to reconsider the SIU mandate as part of essential services, like it is the case with police, because there is no way we would not be able to let the police be on duty. So, Chair, that is the point that I would like to comment on as well. But overall, as the committee, we are actually commending management, especially the leadership of SOU, because he is in a position that is very much sensitive and complex, because of the fact that he has to be wearing two caps at some point, because Section 49 of PFMA appoints him as the accounting authority in the absence of an act that establishes a board for his entity. It therefore means wearing two caps. At some point, he's an accounting officer that is leading the executives within the organization. But at some point, he has to be the board himself and be able to oversee his own work. And that is not an easy thing. It calls for ethical conduct, and it calls for objectivity and independence of mind. So having said that, Chair, I would like to make sure that that is also recorded, that management is working under pressure, but at the same time, the audit committee is happy with the results that are achieved. The other part, Chair, that I would like to also point out is an apology that I would like to tender for not having a formal report as the Act, Chair, that summarizes what I'm presenting here now. It was because the invitation was received at a very short notice, so there was really no time to even engage the organization and work on the report. And Chair, the latter part of it relates more to areas of income. Chair, I understand that there will always be a consideration of sustainability in relation to any organization, but when it comes to the mandate of the SIU, the challenges that are major are the fact that people are not paying on time, and the appreciation by the Honourable Chair and committee members would be that I don't think anyone would like to be investigated. Hence the cooperation when we have to be getting the monies paid to us, because some of the responses would be indicating that they never sought the investigation. Therefore, they never put aside any money to budget for that. And realistically, I don't think people will ever invite that they be investigated. So when it comes to proclamations, people are disregarding the fact that it shouldn't be per their invite, hence the higher figure in terms of our debtors. However, there are strides that had been made by management by having bilateral discussions with the various debtors that we have in our books, to an extent that the improvement in terms of what had been written off in the previous years, maybe a provision for impairment as well, is actually as a result of such engagements, whereby people start understanding the impact of them not paying and also having to pay on time. However, Chair, it's still not closing the fact that there needs to be strengthening of IGR principles in regard to these debtors, or maybe let me say our clientele that we end up having to investigate, understanding that for the sustainability of our operations, they need to make sure that they honor our invoices on time. The point, Chair, that I would like to bring forward as my closing remark is the fact that we escalated the matter through the Auditor General as well, whereby we were indicating to Auditor General that they need to also demonstrate some form of objectivity on their side when they audit those departments and entities that are appearing in our books as debtors, to see what is it that is a finding on their side for the creditors that they are not paying on time. Because while they are a debtor on our side, we've got to appear in their books as creditors, and PFMA requires of them to pay within a period of 30 days. But the question is, why is the Auditor General not having findings for them for our invoices that they are not paying? We've been engaging Auditor General for almost 2 years now in that regard, and they did escalate it to their principals. And the feedback that we got, Honorable Chair, was that they sometimes have a problem in accepting that we are valid creditors in the books on the basis that some of them would argue that those are not valid invoices from us. And the fact that people argue that they never budgeted for us because they never planned that would be pursuing an investigation. Having presented that, Chair, I think there's still a need to create further awareness, even with the accounting officers of the departments and the entities that are currently in our books as debtors, even those that are not currently in our books, so that they can understand that our mandate is such that we're not going to be invited by them to perform an investigation. And therefore, the moment there's a proclamation and they've been advised of the investigation, they have tried and find out the estimate of the budget. Because as you will appreciate, Chair, with any of these cases that are within the sector of justice, it's difficult to estimate how long the project is going to take and therefore come up with an accurate estimation of the cost. So having indicated that, Chair, I think I would like to close off by saying that at the moment, we are happy that we are doing very well. And we are even trying to ensure that management gets the support from the various stakeholders, which we will formalize as part of our future reports to show the stakeholder mapping and analysis and the roles played by the various stakeholders. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We are on time. Thank you very much. I will now hand over to members. Can you remove the screen so that I can be able to note members? Can you remove the screen, SIO, so that I can be able to see members? So, Honorable Sort, I can see you've raised your hands. Let me also, okay. Yes, Honorable Sort, Honorable Masekwa Jele, Honorable Mfukeng, Honorable Horn, Honorable Ngola. In that order.
Hola.
Oh, and then Honorable Glenis Breitenbach.
Chair, I've also got my hand up, Honorable Wilmer.
Honorable Nivot Drachans will follow Honorable.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Advocate Matiba, and your team for your presentation.
Let's start, Honorable Sort.
I'm sorry, Chair. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Chair? Can other members hear me?
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
I don't think the Chair can hear me, but I'm going to continue, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, thank you, Chair. My apologies. I just wanted to commend and congratulate Advocate Matiba and his team for the clean audits and for the incredible hard work that you are performing to fight corruption in our nation. Again, I think the committee expressed itself that we were concerned that you were not declared an essential service under lockdown 5. Doesn't make sense, but anyway, we are pleased that at least that was changed subsequent to that. I, Chair, would need your guidance because I understand there's going to be a separate briefing on particular cases. So we might ask some general questions about cases and then leave specifics up to a different time. But I would like to just ask a few questions. My concern has been expressed before about your funding model, in particular, the reliance on your clients to pay the debt. And I think that you gave us an indication that that is being addressed. But again, Chair, this is a particular concern about the whole funding model. If you see almost 367 million from state institutions and that debt book. And that may well increase now because of other departments having their budgets cut. So that is a massive concern for us. We as a committee have indicated that we do not want to see any budget cuts, but this is particularly addressing your data books, and you've given us an indication. Internal audit has also given us an indication. But this is something we need to bear in mind and assist you wherever possible. Secondly, I'd like to ask in particular whether you are expecting any decrease in your budget over the medium term. And this is something we would also not support, given the massively important work that you do as the SIU, and the fact that both the state president and the minister of finance, in response to my questions, have accepted that you play a very important role. They said they have heard us and will ensure that you are properly resourced to do the work. You are able, as I've said before, to collect billions of rands should you have sufficient resources. And so I'm sure I'm speaking on behalf of the committee when we say we will do everything to ensure that you are properly funded. That having been said, I want to ask you a few general questions just about the impact and the efficiency of the fusion center, how you are finding the working together. Is it assisting? And previously we had reports of concerns of your cases referred to the NPA, and there was a memorandum of understanding. Has that been resolved? And then of course the whole COVID-19 corruption and those issues which you are investigating. As of 15 September, you indicated 700 companies were being investigated. Possibly you could give us just a general update on the COVID-related matters on the roll, on possible freezing orders, on cooperation with the FIC, following up with the Auditor General's response, cooperation with the NPA, and we are understanding that you have got specific powers and you've used those powers to freeze bank accounts via the special tribunal. Whether you are expecting to bring any more freezing of bank accounts, that is obviously of great importance to us, given the fact that already the 500 billion COVID-19 related funding is to be additionally funded, and we need to address any corruption that has taken place in that regard. Chair, I would also like to ask a little bit further about the cooperation of other agencies and other departments. When you are particularly asking them to be investigated and they have to fund you, and the internal audit raised this issue about invoicing. Why must they be invoiced when they're not requested to do that? That is a great concern to me, that whole issue. So I'd like further clarification on how we as a department, how we as a committee can assist you in that regard, in the cooperation in that regard. Chair, that's my brief questions for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Noma Themba Chele.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity to welcome and the two reports, the audit outcomes, and also congratulate the SIU for good work, also on the clean audit and the work that they are doing outside, that we see the report from the media. And also, Chair, let me say, it was really very comforting and refreshing to hear that the audit, the chairperson of the audit says they don't have no concerns, about the issues, how the things are done within the institution, SIU. It's very refreshing, Chairperson. However, one is noting that the SIU is doing very well when it comes to Program 2, investigations and legal counsel. We also indeed want to applaud them on that part. However, Chair, I would propose that because they are not doing well on the issues of administration, it has been reported, and we have seen the on the presentation. I would propose that they really pay attention on that one, particularly when they are going to do their recruitment, because they are doing well on the issues of investigations. I think in their recruitment, they must make sure that they get real administrators. They must not hire lawyers or investigators to come and do administration. They can also consider involving those that have done paralegal to at least to lower the, not to lower the standard, but also to allow to bring others who are under, who can concentrate mostly on this one. Because if they are going to recruit people of their same caliber, they are going to have a problem, because they will also have interest that side and then maybe overlook the issue of administration, and which is the part where we are really, we need help. Another chairperson, another question, maybe clarity that I would want to have, it is on the issues of Advocate Mutibi presented that they would like to fast track on the issue of vacancy rate. Maybe one would want to get, if you can share more information on this one, exactly what is the problem, except the issue of COVID-19 that came with its own difficulties, Chairperson. If we can get more information on that part of the issue of the vacancy rates. And then another issue, Chairperson, I realized that they do have a committee, an ICT committee within the institution, but they are having problems on the issues of ICT plans. I think the committee must assist them, Chairperson, because they really need to wake up on the issues of the 4IR, because ICT cannot have problems on that area. We need to catch up. So I would request that the ICT committee work hard in correcting the situation on that part. But also, Chairperson, I would say the department or the institution, ICU, you can't set the targets that you cannot achieve. You must make sure that you meet your targets, because if you don't, you are causing problems, and a lot of them. Because now you will be coming here again crying about the issues of we don't have enough finance and all that. We see that you are doing a good job, but that rate tells us that there's a lot that still has to be done within your institution. So it is important that indeed make sure that you concentrate on that rate and improve. It can be tolerated, the issue of 0% on the implementation of legal compliance framework. That one also, it has to be looked into, because these are the issues that they cause problem within the institution. But lastly, Chairperson, my question will be on the issue of recovery of debts. We have seen the work that they've done, the VBS, the sentence that the CEO got, the Chairperson, of 10 years and 7 years, 3 years suspended, or is it 4 years or seven, 3 years? But my question is that, was there any assets that were recovered? Those who were infected to recover the money, because this money, the money from the poor, And that he would say maybe it give reasons that, you know, he was just allowing people to steal whilst he was watching. I don't think that we need to overlook the issue of getting some recovery from that money, because I don't think that he did not also give himself something there. Even if he has been given that 10 years, that must be looked into. He must also give us something. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mfuke.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And I would like to thank the SIU and the team of Advocate Mutivi, but also thank the spokesperson who made us to understand what is happening on the ground, how they communicated to the citizens. It was effective. So I would like to also congratulate the SIU on the coordination with the Hawks. That was a thing that is long overdue, and we really think that they are going to grow in this, having noted that they did the same with cooperation on the asset forfeiture unit. But one would want to say that on the asset forfeiture unit, your relationship with NPA, you must clean up and sit down and talk about the assets that are actually confiscated from people, and tell us in future what is it that is happening, because we cannot allow cases that goes forever, and with assets of people, the next thing the government is sued and all that. But anyway, that is an item that we need to look at in future. I want to check on the issue of the human resources. One has seen you had adverts, and that is welcomed. But I want to check on the issue that you were talking about the last time, forensic investigations, and especially the development program. What extent has the unit had to in-source capacity, maybe of private forensic? And is it costly, or are you managing? And the other part is about the people with disability. You said you have about 10 vacancies that are open. How far are you managing to get them? Because even advertising, we know that the thing is that you must get suitable candidates. If you don't have people that are skilled, you have a problem. And I think Honorable Maseko Jele covered me on to how can you do that? What kind of people can you bring on board? And she also covered me on the ICT issue. Chair, I'm also covered by also Honorable Swart on the clean audit. Well, we really welcome that and want to thank you for that good job. The last part, it will be on the issue of the Master's Office investigations. I want to know how many referrals have been done to NPA and the disciplinary measures thereof. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Horn.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to colleagues and the SIU team. And yeah, I think from our side also, congratulations on the clean audit. And I want to add my voice by saying that I think the news of the last month or so regarding the SIU's involvement in the let's say the very speedy investigation into the COVID-related corruption was good to hear. And from our side, I think we've seen over the last years a real progress in terms of making the SIU as an institution more effective. The whole issue of the special tribunal, which is materialized, obviously is one of the aspects apart from audit outcomes, etc., which is a very positive. While I am then on the special tribunal, the one thing that remains a bit of a worry is that in the language used about the special tribunal, and it's not necessarily from the side of the SIU, but sometimes even them, one sometimes get the sense that there's not a proper distance between the special tribunal and the SIU, because it's possibly because it's contained in the same act, dealt with in the same act. you got a, one can get the sense that the SIU is seen by, the special tribunal is seen by some as an extension of the SIU. So I would very much urge that to not run into trouble with accusations of a lack of independence going forward for the special tribunal, that should not continue. And on that same vein, it has been noted that the special tribunal, their website is part of the Department of Justice's website. And one would think that it being a tribunal, it should rather seek to be housed with the Office of the Chief Justice in that regard. Then, Chair, in respect of the mentioned name of another briefing regarding the full list of proclamations and investigations, currently it's not contained on our draft fourth term program, but, and I want to argue that this is very, should be very important for us. The one danger, and I would like to get comment from the SIU specifically regarding this, is that with the big focus, and rightfully so, on the investigation into COVID-related corruption and maladministration, other proclamations and investigations could be put on the back burner. So I would very much like to rather request that we, like in the past, get a full update of the status of all investigations. Obviously not sensitive information which could impact the effectiveness of the investigations, but the reality has been that in the past, sometimes investigations have taken a very long time. So I would urge that we ask the SIU for a written report to this committee detailing all proclamations, dates issued, and the progress with these proclamations in the meantime. On the issue of ICT, and other colleagues have addressed this, I just want to ask one specific question, however, on the question of ICT. On slide 50, we see that there's now recruitment pending for very specific senior cyber forensic and other forensic related positions. However, previously we were informed that the current ICT environment of the SIU is not suitable and will not enable a proper forensic investigation agency. So could we be apprised as to whether that issue has been addressed successfully and whether the platforms, the ICT platforms of the SIU is now able to support the forensic and cyber forensic arm of the SIU, otherwise obviously the recruitment would not be that good. And then while we are on the topic of, let's say, principal, chief and senior recruitment, previously we were also informed that due to issues out there with the recruitment of these specialists, that the SIU would embark on a process of also growing its own timber. So if we could be appraised as to whether that that program has in any way materialized, it would also be helpful. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, sorry. Thank you very much, Honorable Mo.